I love to laugh loud and long and clear. I love to laugh. Bum, 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 bum. It's getting worse every year. With me, Al, the more I laugh, the more I feel with glee. And the more the glee.
Let's get started.
The more I'm a marionette. It's embarrassing. The more I'm a marionette.
Let's make music together. Let's make sweet harmony.
I decided that because I always have to start the show normally, I thought I would just jump in with some weird song, like my wonderful host, Al, to you.
Cheers, Jeff. Cheers.
As I raise my glass to you.
Wait, are we already running? Or are we going?
Yeah, this is This Week in Mormons.
Oh, I thought we were, normally we do that goofy countdown thing first.
Didn't we do the countdown?
No, Jeff.
Shmimey.
Shmimey? Oh, well, you can sync it up with that harmony we did.
Well, or I'll know when you do it in time. You're a bump, 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 bump. It'll be perfect.
Okay, cool.
Here's the hoping, anyway. Well, yeah.
Now you'll have me randomly saying three during the midst of all that.
Well, that's okay.
That'll be fun.
So, hey, welcome to our 150th show, everybody.
Is it really?
150.
Wow. Let's get t-shirts made.
Haven't we been saying that since about our third episode?
Yeah. We had that one gal that designed our logo. She could have designed our shirts.
Thank
she was
you,
nice.
Laura Barlow hyphen whatever your name is now.
The one that got away.
From you.
From me.
You needed her, but not
I
enough.
Wanted her so badly.
You were too busy being stood up by Aaron Elton in Manhattan to notice. You just didn't know.
Oh, what a funny, funny afternoon that was.
Right? Isn't it great how adversity can become funny later on?
It's no adversity. I'm a busy man who does not tolerate flightiness.
You look like a lumberjack.
Ergo, me and Aaron Elton were destined to fail.
You're making me think of Tobias when he says, "Air on bended knee, air was it not meant to be?"
Ergo.
Larry, you okay with this? Sure, let the fruit do it. Huzzah! It's great.
Huzzah indeed, Jeff. Huzzah.
Ah, yes.
So, how was your week? Have you been?
I've been okay. I was in California for the family business over the weekend, so. Unfortunate circumstances, perhaps.
How was California? I saw you watching a lot of Netflix.
How did you see me watching Netflix?
It's connected to your Facebook.
No, it's not.
Isn't it?
It is by default, unless you turn it off, as I have.
Haven't you?
I don't need nobody seeing what I'm watching on my Netflix.
Are you suggesting you did not watch any Netflix this
then
weekend?
What did I watch, Al? Tell me.
Jeff, you were all Star Trek episodes or seasons 1 through 9.
You would be incorrect, and there is no season 9 of any Star Trek, I don't think. The original Star Trek was only on for like 3 seasons.
It's true.
And The Next Generation was on from 1987 to 1994. Last time I checked, that equals 7.
You should check again, Jeff.
You should check again.
You never can be too sure.
Let's look at the other ones.
What did
Deep
you watch?
Space
what did
you Nine.
Watch? What was your Netflix habit?
Deep Space weekend? Nine was on for
I'm
6 years.
I'm fascinated by this, Jeff. Let's hear it.
What?
What did you watch on Netflix?
And Voyager was on for 6 years. Nothing really. I've been on a Frasier kick of late. So
my mom turned me on to Battlestar Galactica.
But no, which I've actually heard is a good show.
I missed it when it was all the craze, and so now I've been all Cylons for the last couple of nights. Mm-hmm. Very entertaining.
Is this
and
what you've been doing during
your I love all the Mormon references in there, random like nuances.
And is that what you've been doing with these late-night hot dates that you apparently go on? Mr. Man with the ladies, making them watch Battlestar Galactica? No, that's not a euphemism. What is this?
Dude, I wish I could find a girl. No, actually, I don't. I'm kind of happy that the girls I date don't love that stuff.
Oh, I thought you were going to say happy they don't love you.
I'm happy the women I date don't love me. Makes it nice.
I feel like that would be unfortunate for them not to love you.
Yeah, right? I mean, seriously.
Love. I hear it's good.
It is good.
Anyway, California was nice. It is good when you get to have family all get together, regardless of the circumstance. So it was very nice to see my broader clan. We don't all get together very often, so.
Well, good. That's nice.
So it was nice. Neat. My grandfather, marvelous man, wonderful services.
Are you done Christmas shopping, Jeff?
Done, started. What are the, so many adverbs here.
My Amazon Prime is failing me. Everything I want is like out of stock for 2 more days, so it's not.
Oh, that's not good. See, I need to look. I was actually planning on around tonight, maybe doing the bulk of my shopping and just shooting it off to California. There was no time while I was there to physically shop. Except for buying my mom a vacuum.
Who are you buying presents for? Your family?
Yeah.
Oh, get them gift cards. Just get them
We don't do gift cards in my family. We try really hard to like make Christmas count. It doesn't have to be a fancy gift. But
oh,
we try
you
to
do?
Be
here you are shopping the evening of the 19th? You seem like you try really hard.
We try to be
really
thoughtful.
Hard.
Listen here, you schmoozy. I am planning weddings, and I had funeral things over a weekend. There has not been much time.
I'm so impressed.
And now our cake person bowed out at the last minute.
You seem irate over this cake issue.
I was mostly just piling on.
You are livid. Livid. I wish
you
could see.
Who does that? Listeners, if any of you know someone who will do a cake in San Diego for a classy cake for an economical rate.
For cheap.
I'm listening. So
crowdsource this wedding, Jeff.
I would love to crowdsource to our listeners. Who else has stuff they can help us with? I'm here.
My wedding will be photographed by iPhones of the masses. And then they can all upload them to a Flickr stream, and I'll just enjoy it.
I read an interesting story in a book by Bruce C. Hafen, actually, about this
guy. Heard of him.
This guy up in Cache Valley who through his whole life would just photograph weddings at the Logan Temple. He wasn't part of the party or an invite. He would just see the announcements in the paper and then go and take photographs.
Yeah.
And everyone kind of knew him as this kind of spryly creepy old guy who'd do it. Nobody understood what his deal was until later in life when, when he passed away, and everyone found that he'd cataloged all these things so that people could have these pictures. So he had basically an archive of all of these weddings over decades.
All the failed marriages in Logan had their wounds ripped open when they saw those wedding photos.
Because I'm sure that the divorced couples together were saying, but what about the old guy who was out there that none of us knew? What about his photos?
How come he wasn't sharing these photos with anybody? He was just keeping them
to
himself.
Because there wasn't a fun, hip way to share photos with friends back then.
He's pre-Instagram.
I mean, come on.
Pre-Instagram, that poor fella. And so he could have been the cool hipster dude with skinny jeans. Instead, he was the creepy guy with a mustache taking pictures.
Yeah, he could have been. He could have had these. You see these bad boys that I just got?
Nope. Those look like little.
They are photo. They are photo JoJo lenses.
What does that mean?
Well, they do different ones. This one's a macro or a wide angle. This is a fisheye. I've got a telephoto.
This is for your phone?
Yeah, I glued this little magnet thing on the back of my phone, and then you can just pop them on and off and take neater photos.
You are the biggest dork.
I don't intend it for Instagram, especially not since Instagram wants to sell the wonderful pictures I take of my muffins and my Del Taco.
They reneged.
I know they reneged because they realized that 70% of their content was wasted footage of hipster food.
I'm sure that's why they reneged.
They're like, wait a minute. There's not a lot that we can legitimately sell here, people. Well, it begs a lot of questions if anybody posts. What if it's not individuals? What if it's like there's an Instagram feed for the U.S. Department of the Interior, which you should subscribe to, my friend. They just post photos of national parks and stuff like that.
That
would be a commercial entity trying to make money off of a government agency's property. I mean, what do we do here?
Jeff, I have no idea what you're trying to say.
Neither do I. I just think these thoughts.
Sounds like a stupid idea. Quit it.
I assume we're talking about marrying you, right?
Yeah.
I'm the funny one now.
Jeff, why are you the angry guy
Lumberjack now? Al? What are you wearing? You look like Paul Bunyan today. What is going on?
I'm wearing a flannel. An orange flannel at that. It's very. Do you have a blue ox
for a pet?
I should. I've been meaning to get one.
Is that really what broke the jacuzzi out back?
Are you not impressed with this?
Al, I am perpetually.
This is a name brand flannel shirt, Jeff.
What name brand? Van Heusen.
You son of a bee.
High Sierra? Are you wearing High Sierra pants?
No, what is it? I don't know. Quicksilver. I'm wearing a Quicksilver.
Oh, that's
right. This was name brand 12 years ago when I bought it.
Oh, that's good. Well, then you could turn Quicksilver from skater clothing into something worn by, you know, you.
I bought this when I was 16 years old. So, no, 14 years ago when I bought it.
Yeah, yeah. You are, well, I'm not going to reveal your age or any personal information about you.
Jeff, I can be 30.
Okay.
I am 30.
Well, I'm glad that you are well. I hope you are going home for the holiday, able to see family and such.
Yep. I head out on Sunday. I'm going right after the Peter Breinholt concert on Saturday. That's right. Yep. I love Peter. I love some Peter Breinholt.
There truly are no words.
He is a master of guitaring things. No, I love him because we had two of his CDs as missionaries, and it was the only thing not Motab that we had in our apartment for like 8 months.
I once thought, I'm amazed you still like him then, because on my mission I could rock out to EFY, and I'd just like, oh, this music, it just speaks to me. I'd just be like, praise, praise, you know, waving my hands.
Why would you say that?
EFY makes you want to do. But post-mission, even very immediately post-mission.
I hang on to that stuff.
I try.
If it's got a moment for me, if it like takes me back to a different place.
I mean, there's something to say for that. It. But when I got home, I realized I could listen to like Radiohead again. And so.
That trash music that makes you do drugs?
Yeah, but it makes me so creative. My scrapbooking was subpar before I started dropping acid. Now.
Oh, yeah.
It's brilliant.
With the swirls and the tie-dye.
All right.
So, how about those Mormons, huh?
I don't know. It's what we say every week. How about those Mormons? I think we should start off with our recap. So, wear pants to church day.
Oh, yeah. How'd that go?
That kind of blew up a lot bigger than I think we saw it being.
Why? Did you see anybody at your church wearing pants?
No, because I had church privately with my family on Sunday.
Then what do you mean it blew up?
So actually, said, there were some people in my family dressed casually in the living room. So some women did wear pants.
Wait, you went to church in your living room?
Never mind. We had church privately as a family. We had permission to do so, which was actually one of the more remarkable experiences of my life. So, but did I know anybody? I did not hear about anybody in these parts doing it. But it was way bigger than I thought it was going to be. This seemed like some stupid story that we were going to talk about.
I know. It was goofy. And then it's all over the place.
Everyone taking pictures. Here I am. Here I am. Showing who I am. Look at my pants.
Wait, what was the hashtag? I want to see them.
Was there a hashtag?
Who's sharing pictures?
It was hashtag stupid.
No. So a couple of things.
You don't think it's stupid? No, I thought it was an okay concept at first for the sake of women's equality, but now I just think it's one of the dumbest things that's happened.
So a buddy of mine posted up a comment that was like, I can't believe that they're doing this, blah, blah, blah. Church spokesman Scott Trotter had a
I don't know, Trotter said something about it.
He had a quote, attending church is about worship and learning to be followers of Jesus Christ. Generally, church members are encouraged to wear their best clothing as a sign of respect for the Savior, but we don't counsel beyond that.
Yep, perfect.
A friend of mine commented on this post, though, and he said, with all due respect to everyone who's commented here, I think you are missing the point, and it is not a protest with all the negative connotations of that word. No one will say or do anything out of the ordinary other than wear a different article of clothing, one that is perfectly appropriate and in no way contrary to church policy. In a showing of support and in an effort to raise awareness. So not really a protest, but rather an event conceived as an expression of Mormon feminist visibility and solidarity and a gentle challenge to traditional gender inequalities in Mormonism.
I'm pretty sure that's the definition of a protest.
Is it?
It's not a protest, but it's a demonstration for a particular group about a particular issue to push a particular agenda. That's generally what one refers to as...
It's an expression of Mormon feminist
visibility. And was it organized en masse? I believe it was.
Is it, Jeff?
I mean, I don't look at it as a protest in the sense that nobody was like, yeah, nobody's holding signs. No one was being huffy in their seats saying, I will not move from this spot or anything like that. But I agree. I disagree with this idea that it was just some benign thing because, like spokesman Trotter said, in my opinion, why are we going to church? I'm fine with drawing attention to this issue, quote unquote, or whatever it is, because it's a non-issue. Like it says nothing in the books. It's one thing to say if we have socially, if we just have a problem with accepting a woman if she shows up in a pantsuit, and we might, you know, kind of look over there and wonder what's going on, wonder if she's an edgy member or something like that.
Nobody wonders that, though.
I think some people actually do. And so that's a fair thing to address because we shouldn't. But the venue and the time they chose to do it, I think, is completely inappropriate because the point of going to church, particularly sacrament meeting, is not to create solidarity and show an example and cause a discussion. It is about being there and not making a spectacle of oneself to partake of the sacrament and to worship.
Well, so this is we're being hypocrites, though, because
the
kid wearing the Daffy Duck tie is drawing attention to himself,
That's the reason they say not to wear silly ties or why that's kind of assumed. It's not because they're disrespectful. It's also
nobody says that, Jeff. That's not like – nobody looks at them and says, you wore that. You idiot. How dare you?
Well, I don't think anyone looks at the woman and says, who wears pants and says, you wore that. You idiot. How dare you?
Well, that's kind of what we're saying, though.
That's the same point. I mean, that's why we're – I mean, this is a little bit of more the extreme example, but that's also why we're supposed to not have like extreme hairstyles. Styles of dress. Now, I'm not saying pants are extreme, but the whole point is it's not just respect for the Lord. It's also if you are taking attention away from the spiritual implications of our meetings and drawing it to yourself for a third party issue, a third tier, better said.
Two things on that though is one they it's not like they were wearing they showed up to church naked, right? If they wanted to draw attention away from the.
Saying that. What does that have to do with anything?
No, if they wanted to draw attention away from the service, they could have done a lot more extreme things that would have achieved
that
result.
How often do we do things that are not ideal, even with good intent? I'm not saying anybody has bad intent.
If we all wore a purple tie to church, right, in support of this, we're not making a spectacle of the event. We're not making
– But how is
it
not a spectacle? If you were to see a lot of women wearing pants and men wearing purple, like it said in the thing, in order to show support and solidarity – If I were to look around and see these people, I'd be start thinking, oh, people are doing the pants thing. Does that mean I'm sitting there thinking about the Savior and the atonement? No, I'm thinking about this other crap that doesn't matter. And they're drawing that into our meeting when it doesn't need to be there.
The sad part about this is that it's a good purpose that they were going for, right?
Yeah, fine. Sure.
It's something that's meaningful, and it has real meaning to a lot of women out there that are trying to get some recognition around this. And even last week, my response, I believe I called it stupid. I just thought it was really kind of ridiculous because one, I didn't think it was a real thing, and two, the idea of women wearing pants as being meaningful was just. Bizarre to me. Like, I didn't get it, right? But I understand now there's some women that this is very, very meaningful to.
It is. It's great. It's wonderful. Pursue it. Fix it.
And so how could they have done – how could they have carried this out in a better fashion, Jeff?
That's not my job to figure out. I don't know. They could
tell
actually
me.
Arrange
like,
a meeting
what would you
in
rather have had
bishop?
Them do than a subtle change to their wardrobe?
They could write more letters to Salt Lake. The point is
during,
it's one thing if women
independently
just start –
During Mother's Day, we all wear a little rose on our lapel. That doesn't mean that we're detracting from the worship service, does it?
Maybe it does. Maybe it does.
During Christmas, we all wear our – during 4th of July, we all wear our 4th of July flag ties. During Christmas, we wear a holly leaf tie. Everybody's wearing them. Does that detract?
I don't wear those stupid ties during Christmas. You know why I don't? Because I'm not going to be sitting there dressed like a moron when I'm coming to church.
But those who aren't detracting from the service.
No, I submit to you, the people who wear if you ever wear a tie that lights up, you are a moron.
Also, your name is probably Skip, and you're trying to make out with a bunch of women in Pleasant Grove.
And you give them shirts after your date.
One other friend shared an experience. She brought a friend to church. The friend was not a member of our faith and came wearing pants. And got a bunch of high fives from people. They were like, tell them. And for her, she was like, oh, my gosh. Like, Talk about confusing, like you're ostracizing and making this person feel terrible about what they've done because they're just being or the fact that they're different or wearing something different is accentuated. You know, they were inadvertently supporting a cause that maybe they didn't intend to.
Uh-huh.
And she's just like, of all the weeks, people, seriously, why?
Well, and that's why. So, we don't know who's visiting us and when. I mean, what does it show about our faith if someone visiting catches wind that there is some sort of low-scale protest going on against norms in the church? Does that demonstrate a united front? Is that if you – doesn't that apply if you are not one, you are not mine? Ha-ha! Scripture!
Ha-ha!
I totally support what they're trying to do here, but I just don't think doing it to – draw attention to it in church is the way to do it. It isn't right.
Well, and again, like outside of people giving attention to it, I'm not sure what they're trying to achieve. Right?
Well, how would you feel if there was an organized movement at General Conference for members who, including myself, who support the sort of decriminalization of facial hair of men in the church, if we organized like a movement, Beard Conference? All the bearded men show up and sit together in a block so that when the camera gets on us, it shows everyone with the beard, and everyone knows we have beards. Like, that's great and wonderful, but why am I there? Am I there to draw attention to me or to, like, listen to the prophets?
Yeah.
It's the same way, because I think that's actually a fair analog. I mean, Al, both of us have beards.
It's true. We demand that we
like
be
having
taken
a beard.
Seriously.
I support BYU loosening up. I support a lot. I think that's silly that we are against, well-groomed beards. I understand not looking like a ruffian or a homeless person or what have you, but not that we don't love homeless people. If you're homeless, come to church. It's great. But if you're listening to this show and you happen to not have a home, but you for some reason have
access.
You have an iPod,
but you don't have a home.
Yeah.
No.
That's all it is. It's the venue. I would rather they actually stand outside the church with signs protesting physically than going into church and doing that.
Really?
Call it what it is. And if you're outside the church, you're outside church.
I think that's
true,
but
I
don't think they did no harm. But they were, I mean, other than maybe a slight detracting from the meeting.
Traction. And how could we not be harmed, Al? This was a weekend of women thinking for themselves. Oh, my gosh.
Make it stop. Well, so the two things that are still left on this for me is I don't understand what they were trying to achieve outside of recognition.
Nothing, right? Because this is cultural, right?
The agenda is not something that can be achieved, right? They're just going after an ambiguous. We want people to notice us here, and I wish that it was more of a, like, here's what we're trying to do.
Well, yeah.
So that we can all understand it and get behind it and, like, move for real change rather than just the ambiguous, we want betterness.
Right. But what is there to do? I mean, I get it. They could make a fine goal, a fixed goal about it. But what would that be? A decree from Salt Lake welcoming?
I have no idea. Well, and that's why, for me, that's why this is not a well-placed arrow, so to speak, right? Is because there's no way that this could have gone that would have achieved anything. I mean, if every woman in the church would have worn pants, like, they don't even know what that was supposed to mean. Are they more enabled now because they had the guts to wear pants?
Am I going to come to church next week, and when the women show up in pants, I'm going to say, I'm just not going to think anything of it? I think that's the overall goal, is so that if women show up in pants, we don't think anything. We just assume it's part of our normal culture.
I like hoodies, too. We should get them to wear hoodies so I can wear one.
And miniskirts. Yep.
True. That's the truth.
Anyway, that's what I think about that.
It was a bummer because it, like, just kind of bombed. But at the same time, even if we want to support their cause, we don't know what to do with them.
Poorly done. I frown on you, Joanna Brooks.
She wouldn't shut up
about it. She spent the whole week just blasting everything about it on her Facebook feed.
Well, she had support amongst other members or other faiths and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah,
we
support you in this. You are a leader of women's rights.
What did she say in the aftermath?
Oh, she did write some article, didn't she? Not much. Just explaining her blah blah blah. This was one. What was Pants to Church Sunday really about?
What was it really about?
About, like, the status of women in the church. I'm sorry, I don't think that because you wear a dress, it means I look down on you like you're a, like you're inferior and subject to me. I've never thought that once in my life.
No.
Because you could turn it on its head, and if women are arguing that the inability, quote-unquote, to wear pants somehow makes them unequal, wouldn't that also make us as men unequal? Because I can't wear a skirt to church. And I would say a woman can much more readily wear pants than I can wear a skirt within, like, Western culture, right? I mean, if I were to show up wearing a dress to church, I would probably get a talking to from the bishop.
Yeah.
If a woman wears a pair of pants, no one's going to do a thing about it.
It's not the point, though.
Pretty sure that is the point.
Okay. All right, so... let's see. What was it? Newton, Connecticut happened this week.
Oh, sorry. Can I interject one last thing? Joanna Brooks actually alleges that people ran the risk of being, like, summoned for interviews for discipline by their bishops for this, which just infuriates me. That's just stupid. But
no one was going to.
That's say. All. Continue.
But we need to talk for a second about the shootings in Connecticut.
Ugh. Terrible.
Dude, that's been just a mess. Just an absolute heartbreak. And what's crummy is, like, I mean, there's just nothing you can say, right? There's no appropriate response to something like this.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, the videos of the families, like, reacting to it and talking about it to the press have just been heartbreaking. And you see pictures of the kids. I mean, it's just terrible. And so the reason why it's of mention here is there was one of the girls that was killed in that was actually an LDS girl, Emily Parker.
Yep.
And so we have a link here about where you can see, like, hear the, I think it's her dad talking about it.
It's their bishop, actually.
I mean, it's just terrible. But I don't even, like, there, again, there's just no right way to respond to it. It's one of the very few things that I can remember happening, you know, similar to, like, 9/11 or, you know, some other major disasters and things where it happens and all you can do is just feel terrible. Kind of a timely lesson, though, in our sacrament or in our church this last week. The lesson was on how the Lord responds or answers prayers with compassion. In the book of Ether, right? Mm-hmm. And how sometimes that's all that you can look for is compassion. You don't want justice. You don't want anything. All you want is compassion. And what a timely lesson that was for me this week as all of this news came out. I don't know.
It's rough. And this is, you know, it's rough. And the interesting thing, I think, right now is just this might be kind of the straw that breaks the camel's back. I mean, every time a shooting happens, there's a great discussion about what does this mean? Do we need to act? We're not going to talk about actual gun control legislation or anything like that, one way or the other. But I feel like this might be the case where finally it's just too much, and something's probably going to give at this point.
Something what?
Whatever. I think before stuff has happened, like when the shooting happened during the Dark Knight Rises premiere, you know, also tragic. But very quickly, the White House said, we're not going to pursue any legislation. This is very unfortunate. This is terrible. We need to give people help. Yada, yada, yada. In the aftermath of this, it's different. And people are speaking very vocally about actually working on legislation, the bringing back the assault rifle ban, et cetera, et cetera. I think this is just the thing that's taken it too far once again. I mean, it's one thing. No killing is anything to diminish. But when it's 20 children, I think that just makes us take pause.
That's hard
to figure out. I don't see
the direct answer as being gun legislation.
There's no clean answer.
I don't see that as being even an appropriate response, right? I mean, I look at the broader, you know, give up our liberties in order to have security now, but, like, I mean, I think it'd be a mistake, right?
Well, I don't know if the funny thing, I did see a statistic that showed we've had something like 30-odd shootings ever since Columbine happened back in the mid-90s.
Uh-huh.
And in the whole rest of the world combined since then, there's been less than half of that number. which is very interesting to me. I don't know if it's as much guns, but I think that American culture has an appreciation and an accept for and an acceptance of violence that is just different than elsewhere.
Yeah.
And that's our problem. We have a violent culture here, which is weird because we are the land of the free, of opportunity, of great things. And at the same time, we are far more violent than the rest of the developed world. I mean, by far. It's just weird. I don't understand why we don't have an appreciation for...
Well, if you took guns away, it would be bombs. And if you took...
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
like,
I'm not saying...
Bombs.
Because not gun... I think the guns are just the outlet for our violent zeitgeist. You know, the guns are just the means to an end, really. And the question is, what changes? What do we change institutionally on a societal level so that we don't think this stuff is okay, so that we're not so obsessed? And we could go on and on. Is it video games? Is it movies? Is it whatever? But I think one of the finest examples is how...
Which it's not any of those.
No, and how it depends on the person. But like, I don't condone any of this stuff. But look at our movie rating system, for example. If a movie has a fair bit of the sexual stuff, too much of it, it can be given the dreaded NC-17 rating here in the States, which is the death knell for movies. However, a movie could have absurd amounts of violence, like torture porn, as we call it. And it's always R. I've never seen a movie get rated NC-17 for violence and gore, ever.
Yeah, I don't know. Well,
and it's interesting that we accept that. And I'm not saying that we should condone sexualization.
I worry that the and even like in this conversation, right? I mean, now is not the time to speak of legislation and fixing. It's more just like, all right, let's just be sad for a bit, right?
I know.
I mean, I feel like you know, you're in that relationship and the significant. Or the significant other comes home and just wants you to hear them and not try and fix their problem. But all we're doing as a nation is trying to fix it rather than just mourning. I mean, literally within hours, it was a political issue.
Well,
and
it
jumped
always is.
On
yeah,
from one
yeah.
side and the other, which is unfortunate. That's not what we should be trying to do. That's not what we as a nation should be trying to do. But I mean, a time like go Spend a couple of minutes on those kids, man. Just thinking about them and feeling bad for them, and then let our testimony of the atonement be revisited in this, and rather than going after a political position and being angry one way or the other.
There we go. Though building on that, KSL owned by the church took down their gun ads. Now, if you know anything about KSL's gun ads...
Classified ads for guns.
It's renowned for being like one of the greatest gun Craigslists, basically, in the country. If you want a gun, KSL's gun list is just not messing around. It is the greatest gun classified. So I don't know. I don't imagine this came straight up from the top in Salt Lake. But out of respect for the shooting, they took their gun classified.
If you look at... So they have a post on their Facebook page. It just has a massive comments with people angry and bitter and
of
blah,
course
blah,
they
blah.
Are. And that's the thing that cracks me up. That, like you said, in the wake of this, I mean, reactions are one thing, but if they want to take it down and say, hey, guys, let's mourn these people and not think about guns for a few days, we're going to take this. I don't think they're going to permanently take it down, but they just took it down for a bit. And now people are so upset already saying, well, this is where I can get my gun. I don't know. I think it goes both ways. We talk about curbing gun rights, but at the same time, we have people who now are trumpeting how we all need guns more than we did before.
It says almost 3,000 or 2,500 likes. Comments.
That's crazy. That's crazy numbers. So
So, I mean, as an entity of the church, I think it's actually really smart.
Yeah. But you can't buy any firearms, but you can buy gun safes, gun holsters, gun ammunitions, and gun racks.
What is it?
It's a gun rack.
A gun rack? A gun rack. Yeah, right. I don't even own a gun, let alone many guns that would necessitate an entire rack. What am I going to do with a gun rack?
Good for them.
Yeah.
You know, just neat things.
You know, the things that are neat... With the neat and the things. Ahead, Al.
No. What do you got, Jeff?
Well, I was just going to talk about real quick. I haven't been able to find a copy of it, but apparently Spotify, the music listening or slash subscription service, is running Mormon.org ads. The church has done an ad buy on Spotify. And the best I could find when searching for it were Spotify message boards of people who are angry that they are hearing Mormon ads when they're trying to listen to their music.
Really?
Yeah. I wanted to find copies of the ads themselves, but I didn't have any luck. So if any of you have heard this, I have an idea what I'm sure it's like, but I just want to know what ads they're running. Well, I know that Spotify does not bother using any kind of an algorithm to give ads that are pertinent to your listening habits at all. So you're probably sitting there like rocking out to some death metal. Yeah, that comes on. Do you feel lost? Do you wonder where you came from? Mormon.org. And then the guy for a second says, I do feel lost. I do wonder where I came from. But this Rammstein album is not going to finish itself. Back we go.
I think they're advertising against Christmas music too, which is, I mean, good for them. Smart.
It's smart marketing, but I can understand why. It was funny how much I found that it bothered people. They're like, what is this crap? I don't want to hear this.
Well, no, if I was getting a Jehovah's Witness ad, I'd be like, come on now.
Part of me would... Okay, if you want to talk about... This could go for any faith, but it happened to be Jehovah's Witnesses, so please don't feel like I'm pinning it on them. Maybe this is common practice, but because my grandfather's obituary ran in the paper, my mom actually got a letter from a local Jehovah's Witness pastor, priest, basically just proselytizing to her about finding the truth and stuff like that. I understand they're doing, their job. We've been missionaries. You know, we try to give people hope as well in the wake of tragedy. But I was, like, super bothered and offended by this. I'm like, my grandfather died. And it's one thing to say we're sorry for your loss. We in our community are, grateful for you. May God be with you, yada, yada, yada. Instead, it goes off on this whole thing about how we need to contact them and we'll never find true happiness without blah, 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 blah.
Maybe that's true. Maybe you won't find true happiness, Jeff. Did you ever think about that?
I know. I felt like it was very insensitive. And it made me think. As a missionary, was it insensitive? It's one thing. You gotta be delicate with this stuff. When people are going through grief, it's a good chance to help people understand eternal principles, but this gave me more perspective in seeing how it could be done if not done tactfully.
That's fair.
So, sorry, I'm not trying to slam them in particular. It could have come from any group of any kind whatsoever. So I'm not trying.
Even
to-
us, we could have done it.
It could have come from the Mormon Church.
It didn't, though. That's what makes it good. So BuzzFeed had an article, The 20 Reasons Why 2012 Was the Coolest Year to Be a Mormon.
I kind of like this.
Jeff, would you care to walk through this with me?
Shall we alternate?
Number one, Mitt Romney became the first Mormon nominated for president by a major political party.
And he's doing kind of a Zieg Heil in his picture. Well, good for him. Number two, John Huntsman ran for president, too.
Number three, Sacramento Kings player Jimmer married his college girlfriend and former BYU cheerleader Whitney. It was like BYU's royal wedding.
Was it, though? I mean, really?
Yeah, no.
Okay, John Stewart had some Mormons on his show, like Joanna Brooks, author of The Book of Mormon Girl.
Joanna Brooks had her moment in the sun this year.
Yeah, man. I hope she goes away forever.
Why?
I'm just done. Keep going. Number five.
Number five, and some black Mormons were also on.
Did you
John
see
Stewart's
that bit
show.
With the black Mormons on
yeah,
the Daily Show?
Yeah, that was really funny.
It was great. Number six, Bryce Harper, a Nevada Mormon who works in D.C. as an outfielder for the Washington Nationals, called a reporter's question about his favorite beer is a clown question.
Democratic Senator Harry Reid, a Nevada Mormon who works in D.C. as the Senate Majority Leader, called a reporter's question about Republicans and immigration reforms a clown question as well.
Ah, Jabari Parker became the 13th high school athlete to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
That's relevant because he's Mormon.
Yeah.
Joel Osteen, pastor of the largest non-denominational denomination Christian congregation in the United States, told Wolf Blitzer he believes Mormons are brothers in Christ. He said, "We don't all have to have the same views, but I'm probably a little broader and more open in the fact that when somebody loves Jesus and says he's the Son of God, it's good enough for me."
Bloomberg Businessweek faced criticism for this magazine cover, with one media analyst saying it crosses the line between commentary and bigotry.
Crosses way over the line.
This is, of course, back from July, the cover that said Inside the Mormon Empire. And it showed the ordination of Oliver Cowdery and Joseph Smith with John the Baptist saying,
"And thou shalt build a shopping mall."
And
number 11, the church lowered the age young men can serve, or the age young men can serve missions from 19 to 18.
And 12, I feel like, should really be called 11B. They kind of cheated here. And they lowered the age young women can serve missions from 21 to 19.
Big win. Why do you need to wear pants when you've got that?
Boom.
Let's see. The church created a website that called for treating gays and lesbians with compassion. It also stated sexuality was not a choice. That is big for the church.
NBC aired Mormon in America on Rock Center with Brian Williams.
Still haven't watched that. The church launched a Christmas ad campaign in New York City.
And I would add to that, not just a Christmas campaign. They did like a full campaign in New York City.
I mean, oh, they've been loving it.
And they bought ad space, number 16, in playbills for the Book of Mormon musical, which I love. Audacious.
You've seen the play. Now read the book.
Oh, yeah.
Number 17, the Killers lead singer Brandon Flowers kept getting asked questions about Mormonism while he was promoting the band's new album.
That was a good moment for him. American Idol runner-up David Archuleta put his singing career on hold to go on a mission. And while we're at it, we had one of our listeners wrote in on Facebook and said, "I'm tired of this. The media should leave Elder Archuleta alone and let him sing his mission." He was very angry about it. Are you angry about Elder Archuleta?
Who? Who said that?
Some guy with a name.
Who is this guy?
Well, I've got to look it up. Hold on a second. I wasn't ready for this. It went away. I must have deleted it.
Was it? Who would hate that?
It's over. I don't know. It was on our thing, and now it's gone. I'm sorry.
It left. Huh?
Regardless.
Okay. Number 19. A picture of Archuleta singing in the church's semi-annual general conference made it into Rolling Stone magazine.
Yay. Then 20, but most importantly, a video of Ryan Gosling singing and dancing at a Mormon talent show as a kid was uploaded to YouTube. That was
a big, big moment for Mormons.
Huge.
Bonus, late in 2011, there was that one time Anderson Cooper defended Mormonism from being a cult.
And lastly, the bonus, which this is actually one of my favorites. And there was also that one time that P. Diddy tweeted a quote by L. Tom Perry, a member of the church's quorum of the 12 apostles. It was at the very, very end of 2011, but it was very neat.
What did it say, Jeff?
Remember that? The quote is, "One of the greatest weaknesses in most of us is our lack of faith in ourselves." L. Tom Perry.
LTP!
The L Train!
Oh, that was
Pittsburgh,
a good one.
Pittsburgh.
I like that BuzzFeed has a little bit of McKay in it all over now. We get this stuff randomly.
Yeah, the funny thing, though, is Pew released a study this week about perceptions of the Mormon faith, and they've kind of decided that the Mormon moment, effectively, is over.
People don't like us again?
Perceptions are a little bit more positive in general of the church, but by and large, people feel mostly the same way they did before about Mormons. And they still can't answer basic questions about the church's history or sacred texts.
Huh.
But that said, you could ask most Americans what the Talmud is, and they wouldn't even know that. So,
the Talmud who?
The Talmud, the Jewish book
of get law. It? See what I did there?
Yeah, the James Talmud. So, here you go. So, impressions of the religion, though. We did rise by 6% from 18 to 24 that it's good, dedicated,
we
honest.
Got it. Nailed it, people.
The neutrality bit dropped, and the negative perceptions dropped. No opinion just stays right at 30%. One-third of America just does not give a crap.
Finally.
Which is sticking with America all the way back to the American Revolution, when one-third did not give a crap. I think we've just held on to that for a very, very long time.
Why let the... At this point, it's just a thing. You don't want to ruin it.
Yeah. Other than that, before we go, Motap did their Christmas show. Heard it was great.
Did not make it in.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Jerk.
I know.
Let's see. And everybody, have a great Christmas. What a great time of year
this
is. Have
a really great Christmas. Have yourself a merry little Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, what a great time to be alive right now. A lot of good things in the world. Look around you. Enjoy yourself. And we will come back to you post-Christmas.
I guess so. We can do a show later next week.
Yeah, we'll do it like on Wednesday maybe.
Yeah. So until then.
I'll fly home and we sing Christmas, all the Christmas songs in the hymn book. We all go to Far West Temple site and sing them back in Missouri. That's our thing.
That's actually pretty cool.
So, yeah, I mean, have a good tradition. Live it up. Have fun.
This is the first year I have not gone home in a very long time.
You're going to stay in D.C. for Christmas?
Yeah, we're just staying here.
Wow, man, that'll be weird.
I mean, I'm lucky. I'm not, you know, I mean, I'm fortunate I was able to go home last weekend for stuff, so at least I was kind
also
of there.
Also fortunate you have a hot fiance to cuddle with. That'll be nice.
Yeah, too. We have that. We figure there's a wedding shortly thereafter. Kind of hard to get the time off to do Christmas and then get married, right? You know, it's just
Yep.
A lot of time off to consider. So, but yeah, we definitely wish you a very, very great Christmas, and I hope within all of it you're able to have some spiritual moments and time to reflect on the Savior, because that's what it's all about.
He is the reason for the season.
But so we understand if we don't hear much from you in the next week because of vacations and such. But if you feel like dropping us a line, shoot us an email at contact@thisweekinmormons.com or visit us on our website, thisweekinmormons.com.
Or bookface us at facebook.com/thisweekinmormons or on Twitter.
Y también en Twitter.
At The Real Twim.
Sí.
Twitter.com/TheRealTwim. We're there. Come see us. We love you, everybody. Have a great Christmas.
Yep. Merry Christmas, everybody. And Al, especially Merry Christmas to you, my dear friend.
Thank you, brother. 150 episodes.
150 in the can. Boom.
Do-do-do-do.
All right. This has been This Week in Mormons, and we really appreciate you listening in. Have a great Christmas and a happy new year. But we'll talk to you before then. All right.
Open your heart.